From Mordialloc to Malvern, you're listening to Southern FM.
It is with great sadness that the Space Show notes the death of astronaut Mike Collins at age 90. Collins flew in space two times. First on Gemini 10, where he became the third American to do a spacewalk. Second, as command module pilot on Apollo 11. He solo flew the command module in orbit around the moon while fellow astronauts took the lunar module down to Mare Tranquillitatis. Several years ago, Mike Collins spoke with the NASA Oral History Unit about his early career.
Well, like most of the early astronauts, I was a test pilot, and it was sort of a stair-step process. I went to the military academy. I went to West Point primarily because it was a free and good education. I emphasized free. My parents were not wealthy. When I graduated from the military academy, there was no Air Force Academy, but we had a choice of either going into the Army or the Air Force. The Air Force seemed like a more interesting choice. Then the question was to fly or not to fly. I decided to fly little planes or big ones. I became a fighter pilot. To keep flying the same or new ones, I became a test pilot. And so you see I've stair-stepped up through five or six increments then, and it was a simple logical thing to go on to the next increment, which was higher and faster and become an astronaut rather than a test pilot. So that's how it happened. It was not that when I was a little kid I had aspirations of flying to the moon or anything like that. Actually, I did have aspirations of flying to Mars, but not the moon. But the path that led me to NASA Houston was a stair step, you know, one little increment at a time. Well, again, I was out at Edwards. I was assigned to the fighter test section at Edwards, and we were very much aware of the NASA program as it began, and we were very much aware of the fact that they were looking for test pilots. And so we were up to speed on all the paperwork. I mean, we knew when the next cycle was and so on and so forth. And when the second group of nine was picked, I had just forgotten whether I had not quite graduated from the test, but I think I had just graduated and gone down to fighter ops, and so I applied for that, and I didn't make that. I didn't have sufficient experience, they said, and so then when the third selection in 1963 occurred, I applied again, and this time I was accepted. Mm-hmm.
During the astronaut selection process, the candidates were given a battery of psychological tests. Like many of his colleagues, Mike Collins did not take these tests too seriously.
Oh, well, the psychological aspects of it. Well, I don't know what I think. That's a complicated subject. But I think psychiatry is certainly... A legitimate branch of medicine, and I would not want to fly in space with a psychotic or a highly neurotic person. On the other hand, I would not give too much credence to odd results, and I thought that some of them were kind of amusing, and like the blank piece of paper, which I think I said I thought I saw 19 polar bears fornicating in a snowbank, and then the question then is, why 19? You know, I thought, well, just an odd number. I thought that was kind of appealed to me somehow. But those are the kinds of things you're driving at, you know.
As we noted, Mike Collins flew two missions. Gemini 10 was in Earth orbit, and Apollo 11 was in lunar orbit. The NASA oral historian asked him to compare the missions.
I tend to compare Apollo 11 with Gemini 10 because those are the two flights that I made. And I put Gemini 10 in the context of being certainly an important event, but it was sort of like an important sporting event, maybe, say, like a championship middleweight fight or something like that. Uh, It was important, but it there it was. Apollo 11, on the other hand, was taken out of the sporting event category and put in a category of not even of a national event, whereas generally been more national. Apollo clearly had international implications, and it was obviously, it sounds trite and hackneyed, but it was a historical milestone, and it was of importance to the people of the world. I mean, whereas I think I don't think Gemini necessarily was, not to all people in the world. I mean, certain people either didn't know about it or didn't care about going to the moon. But it was of some importance to people in virtually every little corner of the globe. And I felt that very keenly, and I felt it in a negative sense as well as a positive. And the negative was, hey, don't screw it up. I mean, I felt a tremendous feeling of, you know, I could make some stupid little mistake and just make the whole program look ridiculous in the eyes of the whole globe. And so I felt a heightened feeling of responsibility and of worry because of the responsibility. I guess that's how I felt about the training of
If you had asked Mike Collins what was the question he was most often quizzed on, it would be about having flown to the moon and not having walked on it.
I felt fine about it. I don't have any little hidden agenda or hidden feelings about Apollo 11, about, and people always, it's one of the questions I get asked a million times, God, you got so close to the moon and you didn't land, doesn't that really bug you? It really does not. I honestly felt really privileged to be on Apollo 11, to have one of those three seats. I mean, there were guys in the astronaut office would have cut my throat ear to ear to have one of those three seats. I was very pleased to have one of the three. Did I have the best of the three? No. But was I pleased with the one I had? Yes. And I have no feelings of frustration or rancor or whatever. I'm very, very happy about the whole thing.
And what did Mike Collins consider his accomplishments?
What are my accomplishments? I don't know. I've been in the right place at the right time, and I've been able to do a good job when those opportunities were presented to me. Now, someone else can maybe do a hell of a lot better job. I'm not claiming that they couldn't, but what I'm saying about myself is I'm stable and I'm diversified and I'm not narrowly focused. I'm not, you know, extraordinarily good in one area and extraordinarily bad in the other. I'm kind of even Steven.
And what did Collins find challenging in life?
I felt that I was not as technically sharp as perhaps some of the other astronauts were. And I think one of the challenges for me was to make sure that I learned and retained and remembered and learned and relearned and pounded into my dull skull all the technical odds and ends and bits and pieces that I needed. So I thought one challenge was mastering this gigantic pile of machinery that is the Gemini spacecraft, the Apollo command module, or whatever. That was a big challenge to me, and I felt I probably was not natively as well equipped as some of the other people were for doing that. So that was one challenge.
Mike Collins has already commented that as a child and young adult, he didn't dream of going to the moon. Mars was his target. Now, what did he think of the debate about whether to send humans to the moon or to Mars?
I'm Mars, 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 and Mars. I've always been Mars. Before I went to the moon, I was Mars. After I came back from the moon, I hoped that we would be Mars. Spiro Agnew, God bless him, tried to push a Mars program. Tom Paine liked Mars. George Bush wanted to go back to the moon and on to Mars. I think the really interesting thing in the future is Mars. If you need an International Space Station as a stepping stone to Mars, okay. Frankly, the International Space Station kind of bores me, like it does the American public. I'm not sure that you really need it, but it looks like we're going to have it, so I'm certainly not going to resurrect that argument. Going back to the moon, I'm not in favor of that because I think it's a gigantic sinkhole of money, time, and talent, and that going back to the moon will create as many problems as it solves, and it will delay and delay and delay Mars. I'm pro-Mars, that's all I can say.
In 2018, Mike Collins was a guest at a musical celebration of the 60th anniversary of the formation of NASA. As Natasha Bedingfield and the NSO Pops sang "Fly Me to the Moon," Mike Collins must have reflected on the quirk of history that had allowed him to do just that.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
the same function, Mike Collins, with characteristic humour, recalled Apollo 11.
Thank you so much, my good grief. I did not expect that. So nice to be here. At age 88, you know, it's nice to be anywhere. On September 16, 1969, I was privileged to address a joint session of Congress, believe that or not. For me, that date marked the end of Apollo 11, and it closed an extraordinary chapter in my life. Now, 60 years later, to me, those words still sing true. Mr. President, members of Congress, and distinguished guests, one of the many things I have very much enjoyed about working for the Space Agency and the Air Force is that they have always given me free rein, even to the extent of addressing this most augustus assembly without coaching, without putting any words into my mouth. And therefore, my brief remarks are simply those of a free citizen living in a free country and expressing free thoughts that are purely my own. Many years... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many years before there was a space program, my father had a favorite quotation. He who would bring back the wealth of the Indies must take the wealth of the Indies with him. And this we have done. We have taken to the moon the wealth of this nation, the vision of its political leaders, the intelligence of its scientists, the dedication of its engineers, the careful craftsmanship of its workers, and the enthusiastic support of its people. And we brought back rocks. And I think that is a fair trade for just as a... For just as the Rosetta Stone revealed the language of ancient Egypt, so may these rocks unlock the mystery of the origin of the moon, of our Earth, and even of our solar system. During the flight of Apollo 11 in the constant sunlight between the Earth and the moon, it was necessary for us to control the temperature of our machine by a slow rotation, not unlike that of a chicken on a barbecue spit. As we turned, the Earth and the Moon alternately appeared in our windows, and we had our choice. We could look toward the Moon, toward Mars, toward our future in space, toward the new Indies, or we could look back toward the Earth, our home, with its problems spawned over more than a millennium of human occupancy. We looked both ways. We saw both. And I think that is what our nation must do. We can ignore neither the wealth of the Indies nor the realities of the immediate needs of our cities, our citizens, our civics. We cannot launch our planetary probes from a springboard of poverty, discrimination, or unrest. But neither can we wait until each and every terrestrial problem has been solved. Such logic 200 years ago would have prevented expansion westward past the Appalachian Mountains, for assuredly the eastern seaboard was beset by problems of great urgency then as it is today. Man has always gone where he will be able to go. It's that simple. He will continue pushing back his frontier, no matter how far it may carry him from his homeland. Someday, in the not-too-distant future, when I listen to an Earthling step out onto the surface of Mars or even some other planet, just as I listen to Neil step out onto the surface of the moon, I hope I hear him say, "I come from the United States of America." Thank you.
The words of Mike Collins. Now, later in this celebratory concert, the vision of human journeys to Mars was raised by Coheed and Cambria with the NSO Pops.
It's in the stars.
Coheed and Cambria with Here to Mars. On this evening's The Space Show, we have been celebrating the life of Mike Collins. Farewell, Mike Collins.